be on this side of them.
Good. I'm not over here. I'm just over here. It's an open seat.
All right, we're on the clock here. The microphone is on. Watch it. Okay, so we are gonna start on in our workbooks page. I think I want to say 104, 105.
You got it.
You want to start off 4, we can start off 4, Sam.
It's a blank page. Make your own Bible study.
That'll be a short stop on 104. So actually, why don't we go ahead and once we get settled here, we'll open with a quick word of prayer. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks for blessing us. Thanks for giving us all that we have. Thanks for reminding us that it's really all yours and that we're just managers. Please bless our study and please give us some real practical methods for going a little deeper on how we can use that the best, and also some practical ways we can do that. Bless our study. Amen.
Amen.
So, we're now in the home stretch. We're on section 6, keeping your focus. So now I think we're trying to tie it all together and bring it back again to being pretty practical stuff. So, like it says on page 105, the following groups may view finances differently. Identify some of those differences. Let's just make this a group activity. Female versus male. What are the stereotypes? What's the truth? What do you guys find as far as those things?
I think the stereotype is women are the going out for sales all the time, and the guys always complain. Not necessarily
sales either.
No, I said stereotype. I didn't say that is true.
Oh, just spending all the time.
Yeah, I mean
shopping. But then,
yeah, I think that's one stereotype.
That's the job we were given.
Yeah. It's funny. I have another stereotype. Yeah. Another stereotype is that, and I mean, these go back so far with single-income families, but the wife's at home working and really gathering, making her nest, making sure, you know, kind of operations in the home are happening, so that's a stereotype as well. So it can go either way. You know, I don't know if one's a hunter, one's a gatherer. We go way back in our... but who's hunting, who's gathering? We could have some fun. No, we're not putting on any loincloths. Yeah.
But what I hear...
Yeah.
That's correct. Storytellers.
The female's out shopping all the time. But when the male buys something, it's much more than what she has spent.
My wife reminds me of that all the time. And it's true. I go out and buy one pair of shoes and it costs as much as 3 pairs of hers.
Go buy 100 things that cost a buck or one thing that costs $300, right?
We're talking $30,000 motorcycles and $50,000 boats. Now try to think about it. That's what
we should have had for the media. I am media. So it all comes back to the boat.
Tell me to stop insulting folks.
Yes, it does.
All comes back to the boat.
You got your boat yet?
Working on it. What about saver versus spender?
It's a saver.
Uh-oh, somebody's... Sam, I think your earring went in the center there.
That's
okay.
No, this can't go.
That's an offering.
Open the gate. I was ready to crawl under the table.
I will not be able to concentrate the rest of the class.
Yeah, because your earring's sitting on the
middle of the
earring.
Where's your
navel
ring, Sam?
It's a harder and harder.
So saver versus spender, guys. Saver versus spender.
One saves, one spends.
What's the stereotype? What?
How does that happen? In most married couples, there's one saver and one spender.
Usually, yeah.
The balance.
I suppose. Well, two spenders would be a rough mix. Two savers would be a rough mix, yeah. But, I mean, I think if you go a little deeper behind saver spender, it may be that third bullet may be what's behind some of that. Free spirit versus control freak.
Spirit.
spreadsheet.
Yay! Spreadsheet. We could all raise our hands.
This morning when I had the spreadsheet open, I turned around fast and went out to look. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You can be both. Depending on what you're looking at. There are times when if you want something, you're the spender, we'll say, versus the saver. Though generally, you're the person who can want. You can switch those roles at different times, depending on your wants and I'm not going to use wants versus always needs in these cases.
Well, doesn't that make it more of a healthy balance, too? Because a lot of times if one person throws out an idea of what we're going to buy, and I mean, every once in a while, it's like, yes, we're both in agreement right away, and but sometimes it's like, well, let's look at that. And that's a good thing to kind of go through the pros and cons or reasons, needs, wants.
I think God kind of puts opposites together so that they can balance and complement each other. And that's just part of his plan.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's well said. I think... like I say, sure, it shows up in financial matters. It really shows up. It shows up hard. It shows up black and white, some of these personality differences. But yeah, I mean, free spirit versus control freak. Think about how you... So we talked about... This talked about managing your money. Think about how you manage your time if you're a control freak versus a free spirit. Like, calendar is all... you know, braid out versus we're doing this, we're doing that, and I'm going to start this project, then I'm going to start that. I mean, you know, it shows up in a lot of ways, but it's probably deeper than just this is, finances is a symptom, it's not the disease, right? So, but, okay, so the next one's kind of a question. We can answer it if we want, but who makes the financial decisions in your household? Kaisa actually kind of mentioned about that one, that that's, you guys are ideal. You one brings it up, talk about it, figure it out. You know, what's that?
It should be God.
Well, yeah. You can still ask him for guidance, but we're here on earth to use our brains and work
but he's
out.
He's already wrote rule book, and so if we're in his will, we're following his commands.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Kind of guardrails or setting the guiding principles. Yeah, I mean, we spent a lot of time on that in the last, over this summer. There's, God has laid down all the principles, but then taking those principles and putting them into hour by hour, day by day decisions.
That's our challenge.
Yeah, to your point, I mean, that's our responsibility. So,
come on in, Dan.
He's doing it. Don't mess him up, he's counted. 74, 71.
We were just talking about you.
He's probably going to leave and come back.
He's like, I'm going to do this slide here.
Yeah. So like it says here, it's important to work as a team in your approach to finances. And, you know, we could have a discussion about team, right? Team means there's different roles, and you have to do your role and not do each other's roles, and the roles need to be complementary. You know, sports all the time. What does it mean to be part of a team? It doesn't mean, well, I'm gonna, if person A is a basketball player and person B and this one's great at shooting, doesn't mean this one takes all the shots. Maybe his job is to take all the shots. You know, just like on an athletic team, there's different roles.
Mike.
Yeah.
Well, you know, some of us don't have a husband or a wife.
Yeah.
And I found when I was single that I'd run through somebody I trusted. And if they were true friends, they were very good advisors.
It's a perfect segue. This comes up later.
Oh.
It comes up later. You're dead on right, though. Very nice intuition. I like it. But yeah, no, you're right. If you're on your own, then you should be checking in with somebody from time to time, especially if a big decision pops up. You're like, I really don't know. I think I have some pros. I think I have some cons. Am I looking at this the right way? Am I not? You know, probably not. Do I buy this bag of chips or that bag of chips? But you know, do I sell this house? Do I buy this other house? Is now the time for a car? Is now not the time for a car? Used car, new car. You know, some of these bigger ones. I think you're dead on right. And then Sam brought this up right here. Unified values and a specific plan will impact your approach to spending. I think Sam hit the values, and our values, if we hopefully we choose to follow the biblical values, just like Sam was saying. If we don't, we'll get off track. But then the values need to translate into a plan, I guess should translate into individual actions. So, small group discussion. We probably do this all together. We're not a terribly large group. Identify potential obstacles that may stand in the way of implementing a successful spending plan. So this kind of implies that you've got the values and you've got the plan. Now you're trying to do it, you know, swipe by swipe. I guess you don't swipe anymore. You put it in, wait for the chip. But, transaction by transaction, hour by hour, day by day, implementing the successful plan, include things and experiences that have knocked you off your game, off course in the past. So who wants to go first about obstacles? Yeah.
Well, there might be things that are out of your control.
Yeah.
Like the stock market, or, you know, you lose all your retirement.
Medical's one. We talked, weeks ago that I'm pregnant, right? That's one that,
Congratulations.
This might sound weird. lack of routine. So one thing Sarah and I will talk about is during the school year, we don't have any time to spend money. But then you get to summer, and all of a sudden you have time, and then all of a sudden you get through June, and you're like, in the big picture, it all works out. But all of a sudden you have a month where, holy cow.
Yeah.
Gets away from you.
School.
No. Right.
That solves that.
Be reasonable, Sam.
It's easier to say no when there's no time.
And it's not just people that work at a school. I mean, it's the same with us. It's, all right, today, it's really nice. You drop them off, pick them up, and then you've got some regiment in your day, whether you're working here or working somewhere else, versus, oh man, it's lunchtime, and I got two kids. All right, into the drive-in we go, and or it's I looked on my clock or my calendar, and I got no meetings. So let's go do something and spend some money, and these kind of things.
Or the opposite, they're in school. So when do you make dinner? When do you, because you're picking them up, driving them everywhere, like whatever. So now we're like back to like, oh, when are we gonna like cook, because
I don't know when am I going to cook?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But no, you're right. So I think routines, that's a really good one. Other obstacles that throw us off. We had kind of the outside factors, things. We do so much to ourselves, but Rosemary has a good point. Sometimes things come in from the outside. Well, so I'll just throw it out there. I mean, things we do to ourselves, lack of discipline, right? You just see it. You've wanted it for a while.
It's on sale.
Yeah. It's on sale.
Am I right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a store credit.
Yeah, and you are there.
And you have a credit.
And you can earn points.
Carry your red pen wherever you go.
And you just happen to be in Bass Pro at that moment. And yeah. And I really don't. I need it. I don't. It's not. I need this.
Yeah.
So I think we do it to ourselves. And it's right on the end cap. I don't even have to reach far off of my direction.
You got it. They know.
Yeah. Tom?
The thing that Pam and I are learning with retirement now is you probably have to think about things more because you don't have that income stream coming in. So when you're young, you always think, we'll earn enough money to be for it. But when you retire, you have a fixed income and you have to be a little more disciplined.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. That
you don't have the time to make up or make for the change.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I've been joking about retiring, but I still, every once in a while, like to go out and do something special in the, my work and sell a big case, and, it makes me feel good, but I mean, wears me out. So you're balancing it, and I know where he's sitting at. It's a dilemma, because you start wondering. And this is where you lose, sometimes you sit there, I know God will take care of me. However.
But I can't, yeah, that's a really good point. I don't feel like I have that control of, if I work a few extra hours, make a few extra calls, I can probably get a few extra sales, and yeah. I can probably bump up the number a little, yeah. You know, that kind of thing. I know my folks, watching my dad after he retired, he, you know, at some point the pension came and the Social Security, and he's like, well, I got to live on that. Dad, all this, years and years and years, these assets. I'm not saying liquidate them all, but let's start trickling them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. And so, yeah.
And I think too, for many people, retiring is you're going to retire to something that you want to do. That doesn't say it pays you well or it pays you, but you want to, you're not going to sit there and I can promise you I'm not a golfer, so that would, you know, yeah. Do it. But I mean, I know people, I'm going to play golf 5 days a week, you know, after 2 months, and yeah. They are bored to death with it.
Yeah, people that don't have a plan for their, I mean, we're talking about money, but again, it's time, talents, treasures, it's the same stewardship, even after you retire, and people that don't get into it. So, all right, so those are some obstacles. Let's flip the page. Oh, we didn't read the verse.
One of my favorites.
All right, Matt's going to read the verse for us. He loves this verse.
In my top five. Run in such a way as to get the prize. I once read a book by Vince Lombardi, and it paraphrased this as, run to win. Anyway, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air.
Thank you. Well, and what is it? I mean, yeah, let's get some little bit deeper there. When it says, okay, run in such a way as to get the prize, that's fine. But if you're, what does that mean in such a way as to get the prize? It means get a plan. Get yourself together. Be ready. You know, it doesn't... You don't just show up on race day and expect to get the prize. You have to have been. You have to have been. Well, yeah, that's the very. I do not fight like a man beating the air. That's the guy who just showed up to the race, right? The guy that's going to win is the guy that's been training for weeks and months.
I think too, run in such a way as to get the prize. If you don't, if you're in, a, if you enter a race, you do not enter the race saying
to lose.
Oh well, I don't care if I lose. You know, you enter it because you're competing, and you want, you're looking at the prize. You're looking at the end result.
Yeah.
At least that's, you know.
Amen, sister. I mean, some of these, yeah. Yeah.
Race for
you
that
can
reason.
Go in as a team and not have to be the first one either. So it's a team.
Part of the plan. That's yeah. Part of the strategy.
But
yeah.
Even
yeah.
So, your team yeah. Has to enter, you with know, the with the idea of, I want to win.
Goal. Goal. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
The goal.
Yeah. And, you know,
the, game,
the analogy I have, lose. I mean, as much as I love sports and we talk about basketball, St. Mark's and yada yada, but the maybe the one here is some of these Olympic athletes, they only get a crack every 4 years. Yeah. So they, and maybe they just missed out on the Olympic trials and they just missed being off the team.
And another
4 years from now, 4.5 years from now, I'm going to get it. And they start. So, you know, some of this stuff is a long plan with a big goal, so. All right.
One more quick.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to make a practical application, but the spiritual application is, what's the prize? It's heaven.
Yeah.
And your life is yeah. A life of disciplined growing in God's word so that in the end, that's the prize that you're experiencing.
Well, yeah, I think the prize is probably more than just heaven. It's heaven and it's probably... the best stewardship life you can while you're still here, right? That's part of the prize, I suppose. But yeah, no, good stuff. Way to break it down.
God invented that everybody gets a prize because you could be a Christian from birth till you pass away, but you could also confess all your sins on your deathbed and God still gives you a prize.
Yeah, that's a good one. Everybody
Please
gets a trophy.
Don't attribute that flawed thinking to God.
Everybody gets
the prize.
Everybody gets the trophy, not a trophy.
The new generation is realizing the flaw of that whole flawed thinking. We're going back on
balancing the spending plan, page 106. I'll read the beginning. All the steps you take in this session will help you reach the goals you've identified for your life. So these are not... You know, these are life goals, not bank account goals or these kind of things. We've already established that. During this segment, you'll review your entire spending plan and make adjustments. Complete all categories in the plan. So add up the expenses on your spending plan worksheet. And if I remember, I want to say it's like page 11 or so.
Back to
way in the front. No, sorry. 12, and there's an appendix in the back, like Matt says. So page 12 and other places. Complete the box in the lower right-hand corner of the worksheet. If you go to 12, real quick, that's kind of the bottom line. And there actually comes a point on here where there, at some point when I was preparing this, it was like, you know, be careful about getting caught in the minutia. Remember the big picture? That's kind of the lower right of there. Income, expenses, net. You know, it's kind of that simple. You know, spending plan activity, and I think we could probably all do this somewhat in our heads, and we're all living it, week by week, paycheck by paycheck, year by year, whatever. So there's three possible results. First one is your income right now is exceeding your expenses. So this is an interesting one. What does it say to do? Go back and try to balance it to zero. So what are you going to do? Boss, that raise, I'm giving it back. Right. I don't think we're going to probably be adjusting our income down. And then it says, but it says here, you have a prime opportunity to knock out some debts or increase your giving or your savings. In other words, don't let it just kind of slip through your fingers. I know at my work, we have one high-up manager. He's always talking about we got to have stickier revenue. when we sell something, it's got to be a little more sticky and not just kind of flow through. So that's an interesting analogy. Second one is income equals expenses. Congratulations, you can leave and go find another coffee. But no, you're in a position to meet your goals. We'll leave it alone. And then the third one is expenses exceed your income. So mathematically, it's pretty simple. Increase your income or decrease expenses. Yeah, easy to write on a piece of paper here. Maybe not so always so easy to do. If your income is simply increased, talk about a second job or maybe a spouse that's staying home or longer hours or changing companies or, right? There's a lot of ors there. And it says, by the way, the issue may not be satisfactorily addressed. So just making more money may not fix it. In fact, I think when we talked about that before, we all look back on when we were, you know, maybe 18 years old and what we made. And we made a little more, a little more, a little more. And, you know, we kind of reached where we are now. Somehow the expenses aren't quite down where they were as an 18-year-old. They grow the same, and we gotta keep track of it. So simply, the point in the book is, just doing a second job or something like that. I think we'll get into that. Fine, you can maybe do that for a burst to get over a hump or something. But gotta look at both. Then it says consider these following options. So like we said, there's a temporary extra income source. We'll get into this. I know at work and somewhere I was advised, and I can't remember, our company sometimes sends out little financial blurbs, part of the whoever they signed up to provide our benefits. But one of it was, there was a guy, I think it was like one of those TED Talk type things, if you guys do TED Talks. And he was, this guy who was doing the TED Talk said, every one of us has got skills, whether master woodworker or, a marketing person, whatever. There's all these people around us. We've all got something that we're really good at. And this guy was making the case that every one of us could put it into a side business. It could be, for now, it could be no more than planning the business. Think about what you could do, what you could make. How could I turn that into a side business? Maybe it's something you do in retirement, 8 hours a week. Maybe it's something you do as community service or charitable. You just do it because you like helping other people. Or maybe it's even a backup plan. All right, if I was to get the notification that my job's coming to a close, maybe I could turn it into something. Or maybe, just maybe, you could grow it into something and then say, bye-bye to your boss. So it was a really interesting point of view that every one of us has some talent. Have you thought about how to turn it into a side thing? It was interesting. reducing the variable expenses, that's, you know, a little easier to cut off. Maybe, all right, we're not going to eat out as much. You know, that's you know, those kind of things. And then rethinking some fixed expenses. Notice it doesn't say just snap a finger. Those fixed expenses don't happen on a dime. I know when we put the budget together around here at St. Mark's, what do we say, 85% of the money that St. Mark's spends, it's buildings and it's people. And I think it's probably not so different in some of our household, right? We can't just flip a switch here at St. Mark's and get rid of half our expenses. Same thing at home. You know, the mortgage, you know, well, I'm just going to reduce my mortgage. Okay. Tell me how. Or, you know, these kind of things. Property tax, I'm just going to only pay half of it. Yeah, that didn't go too well either. So, again, it's rethinking fixed expenses because those probably require a longer term action to adjust them, and probably consequential actions to do it. So like it says, we know this already, as having a spending plan is one of the most effective tools for wise money management. So making adjustments, yeah.
I can't remember, I think you mentioned it, how we can address page 12 now, but this is something that you're going back to on a yearly basis. Not only does our lifestyle or our home base change, but also that loaf of bread that was 25 cents when I was young is now a dollar something. So that's
$4.60.
What is it now? That's one of the things we cut out.
No, you're right. I mean, things change. Annual cycle is probably pretty good. And there's probably the aspect of horizons. I know when we did some retirement stuff a while back, and the question is, well, how much money are you going to spend every month after you're retired? It's a really tough one. Do you have a model to tell me, to give me some ideas?
You'll spend as much as you spend now.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're like, well, I would hope my mortgage would be gone. Maybe.
You have more time, and so then you spend more because it without
there's
some
more
discipline,
there's.
Yeah.
I don't like this answer.
And your mortgage may be paid, but now you have to fix the roof and you have to repair the
maintenance.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes on. You
guys are bursting my bubble.
It's called reality.
I know.
And I noticed with my parents, and even though, you know, for years and years, my mom has raised us with cooking every single meal from home. I mean, that's just her philosophy, right? But now that she's only cooking for herself and my dad, like, the motivation is less, it's not as exciting for her to do that anymore. And so, I mean, my dad does it too, and always has, even when we grew up, because my mom worked 12-hour shifts, and so on the days that, you know, but... So they find themselves like not always making the best decisions because of that, you know, or their friends are going out to dinner and so they just go with them. And I don't know, I can just see how that could be a slippery slope.
For sure.
Well, there's so many things. Every one of our financial advisors told us that we were well set to, you know, we'd die long before.
You're good to go.
Money. And see, then we got Christian. Now I'm working.
Yeah.
I think some of these are such hard decisions to make too, and I think it's like, it's not always some of these, like, how long you live, those are like easier to think about, but like, I drive a lot, so I hear a lot of with Dave Ramsey, and some of like the fixed expenses ones that I hear that just baffle me, that I would think about, or I know people that are not taking this kind of class, so like, if you have a $25,000 car, lose $4,000 on that car because you can't afford it, and go buy a $5,000 car, and in the end you're going to be better. Like, I mean, but people don't think like that. They don't
pain.
Think they're
and there's
money.
Pain. There's pain there.
It's pain.
Yeah.
But I think it's really, it's easy to see that, like, just buy a cheaper house or buy, you know, don't buy bread or whatever. But these, like, hard decisions.
I think it's those, those structural decisions are the ones. Your house, probably car, probably what zip code you live in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe California, just too bloody stinking expensive. So many, you see that all the time. People heading out of here.
Temptation for technology. I mean, if you really put down on paper what people spend on technology, it is incredible.
I love it. I'm just saying, these are structural decisions that are, this isn't, am I baking bread this week or buying bread this week? There's some more, way more structural things. Oh, yeah. Tom.
Pastor Beck, who is, some of you know, is a pastor in Reno, and after he had a stroke, he did research because he couldn't live in Nevada, and they moved to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Because he, the research he did was Tennessee was the least expensive state to live in.
Yeah. We have, it's interesting. It's interesting you bring up Tennessee, Tom. Yeah. It's really interesting you bring up Tennessee. Her uncle, same thing. He worked for years and years and years, operating engineer, ran every piece of equipment. And they booked it to Tennessee, bought a beautiful house, big lot, and man, they're stuck. They are so stuck. No friends, no kids are not there, nothing. And so, yeah, I mean, it's everything's a trade-off. Everything's a trade.
Well, we've had a couple of people that were here that couldn't afford, and they're over age, to live here. They were getting by. One of them went back in Indiana and bought a home in a small town. Okay, you know, so, okay. I'm not all happy about it, as she said, but, you know, I can live there. I was existing here.
Yeah, and that takes a lot of courage. That takes a decision like that, yeah.
If you are you willing to trade personal relationships for more money?
Yeah.
And have you given yourself the? But on some of it, have you given yourself the freedom, the financial freedom, to even have a decision?
Yeah. Well,
you know, so
that's true. But
yeah.
You know what? If we spend all of our life, and God wants us to be joyous and happy and share and have people for dinner and help people help your neighbors and if we're also focused on. You know, at, we teach you a lot about your boat, but you use your boat.
I just gave the teens a fun day with that thing.
That boat is good. Because you share it. And you share things. Yeah, you share it.
Yeah.
And so, if you know, we can't always be so focused on every single time and retirement. I mean, like, you know, we did a lot of that. Look what happened. Hello. So I'd say go have a good time and keep your money in balance.
Yeah,
as
that's right.
As you can.
That's right. Yeah, I don't think you want to be a slave one way or the other to things. So
you've got to be. I mean, when you run into Christians that have a, you know, a dour face, or they never go, oh well, we don't do that because, you know, we need our money for retirement. Well, you may not live to retirement.
Yeah. Now, who is the one?
Can we go back to the page one? Female, male, spender, saver, free spirit.
No reverse.
I'm a free spirit, not a spender.
Yeah.
And I still saved money.
Look how happy she is.
Never made a sale I didn't like.
So anyway, back to page 107. We have we talk about what if you're, if at some point of time, let's say that way, even you may not be in this boat of income meeting or exceeding expenses, but at some point of time, if you got there, what would it be? You know, so I mean, I know for like in our house, sometimes there's just, you know, like everybody, we have our list of home improvements we'd love to do. And, I'd love to do this, love to do that. This counters, floors, paint, you know, whatever, all the million things. But then you sit there and go, well, should we just write a big check to the mortgage and just knock out a few thousand? Boy, that wasn't very fun. Things like that. So if you're either there or you get there, maybe you get a big bonus at work. I'm gonna write a boring check to, you know, whatever. So maybe mentally think about an idea or two if either you're there now or you get to the point where your income was to jump over your expenses. What would you do? I love it. That's really smart, right? So maybe it's just like Scrip. 70% goes to this and 30% for me, right? So,
Kai says that something she's not here right now, but she said something the other day when Sarah and I were talking to her about, she said, we just got a raise because your daughter is not in daycare anymore or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So And we're like, oh, what do you do with it? She's like, well, we're putting it into our college fund. And I'm like, that's so awesome, though. But like, it's just, I mean, thinking of it that way, but then and making a decision of what to do with it.
Basically did what you said. We put part of it towards our mortgage, increasing the principal, and then part of it towards college fund.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, though.
Only the one of them.
Boring and double boring, but smart. No carbon fiber component? Not even
no.
One?
You do something to the house and you pay for it.
No, that's, the, I think, we're all talking about balance here. Okay, so you should have stayed. You just, your praises were sung. So then the second one, if expenses exceed your income. So again, I think we could say there may be people that are there right now. You know, how is this going to work? Or the question would be, what if you found yourself in that position? What if one spouse lost the job? What if both lost the job at once? What if someone got sick? What if the driving home in the car, heaven forbid, and your car gets total? What if? I mean, it's your only, we're not, none of us are that far away from being in this situation. So what would you do? And again, I think that, you know, we talked about two kinds. The kind of the low-hanging fruit, easy stuff. All right, no more eating out. No more buying clothes beyond what I need. No more, you know, probably not the vacation that we were thinking about. Yeah, probably put that off. You know, those are quote-unquote easy. The hard ones would be, can I be in California anymore? That's way harder. Or do I need to seriously think about starting to work nights or two jobs? Those are hard decisions. So again, in your mind, think about kind of how that would be.
Can I make another comment?
For sure.
The beauty of the Lord allowing people to be old is to look back on these things. Okay. The first thing I would say is, this is one of the reasons when you go to counselors that they say people divorce. It's probably one of the biggest stress builders in a relationship. So I would say the first thing you do is go to the Lord with it. Trust in Him, really trust in Him. Then second, sit down and talk about the hard decisions. Because whatever you decide, He in His way is going to bless you or help you with that or discipline you through it.
Well said. So yeah, get your mind right first before you just go on all these actions. And yeah, I mean, that's one of the greatest promises in the Bible. Basically, no matter in all things, I'm going to work it out for your good. All things. Good things, bad things. Things you did to yourself, things others did to you. Times when you went directly against me. And even in those things, I'll work it out. Everything, He'll work it out. So, yeah, we need a gray box right there. Thank you, Pam. Thank you. And Tom?
Well, in, I think it was 2000, we both got laid off within 6 months of each other. So, you know, that was reality check. Had bills up to here, not up to here, but you know,
oh, yeah, well, dear.
They didn't stop. They sure didn't stop,
and,
yeah.
So, you know, it was 6 months of what we're going to do, but it all worked out.
Yeah, it does, because you trusted in Him.
Wow, we should just close the book right now. Okay, so now we're going to get like ultra practical, page 108.
Okay.
Free spirits, be warned. The Excel people, sit up a little straighter.
Amen. That's
right. The
data.
Can't, tracking. Can't afford Excel anymore.
Need abacus,
yeah.
Chalk. So use the spending plan. We've talked about this. What does it do? Number one, big A, accountability. It's not, you've kind of got a North Star. You're saying, look, I'm going to do this, right? So it's that accountability. And to the point that was raised earlier, being accountable to bits and bytes on your hard drive is one thing. Being accountable to your spouse or to a close friend or something like that is probably another.
Trusting.
Yeah. Another one is generate data by tracking spending. So all the Excel people. I thought she was the free spirit.
He's
spends all his time at.
But it's necessary.
It is. It's probably not the funnest thing. Especially if you, like me, you don't do it for a couple of months. Oh, crud. And you got to put it all back, right? And get it up to date. It's no fun. And then, especially in the summer, to the point that was raised earlier, Sarah, I guess. Increased communication and trust. Wow. That's a stretch to me, how this increases communication and trust. To me, the stupid spending plan would be a source of battle. And then spend wisely. And then multiply your savings. And then I'm going to add one for Pam. Praise the Lord for what we do have and everything that he's given us. And that, by the way, should be first and last and somewhere in the middle. Because it'll just, you just sit there and go, thank you. Yeah. So, types of systems. Some of this stuff has come up before. So the first one is a cash-based envelope system. So there's in the appendix, there's some more details on that. A few notes on that. A time-honored system. You know, as long as there's been a cash system. A second one is you pre-spend the income by putting it into spending buckets. I guess you could go buy buckets if you want and put cash in it. But, I mean, literally, you have spent that. It is done. It's a one-way valve, man. I mean, you're not pulling it back. That's the idea. Yeah, you could do it that way, for sure.
Or multiple banks.
Sub-accounts, whatever. Yeah, no, it makes sense. Cash is used for most of your variable purchases. So don't even go there with credit cards. Don't even go there with credit cards. I think that's one of the biggest benefits here. This kind of hits what Sam was just mentioning. Requires at least one master checking account for some purchases and expenses, especially the fixed ones, the big ones, the mortgage, the things like that. Emphasis on using cash for purchases. Spend from what is left. May I repeat, don't even go there with credit cards. What was that one? Seed, need, greed. I love that one. And then the other thing is it empowers purchase decision making. You've made very intentional decisions. You don't make a decision like, oh, I'm really gonna, child's college fund, I'm really gonna do it this time. This time I'm really gonna do it. And then it doesn't happen because you made some other, no, you put it there, it's done. It's cash, it's not some future income that you're kind of thinking about, you've done it. So it is, it's very empowering. It brings power to the decision,
if,
yeah?
If you use cash, then you bought it, it's paid, it's done, it's over. You may have to skip lunches at work and say, hey, I'm not going to go out to lunch or I'm going to bring a lunch. If you want to save for something, then you have it. Or if you use a credit card, one trick we've learned, write it in pencil and subtract it from your account checking account immediately. You don't have it. So when the bill comes, you pay it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I use a checking account.
It's gone. That credit card money is gone. Yeah, that's exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
And then I have... We limited the credit cards, and hey, I don't want that much. They keep saying, I'll give you $25,000. I said, no, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta pay for that with interest.
Yeah, I mean, no, thank you.
Yep. I mean,
the only card I use is
could help with this is green card. It's almost like the envelope.
Yeah, it is.
I like it. Yeah.
That's really why we're starting it. We're encouraging stewardship.
The envelope system is the old one when people were paid in cash. You would put, I can remember my folks coming in, this is for the rent, this is for the food, this is for that. And they took the cash when you got paid and you put it in that envelope and that's where you lived off. We don't live with that anymore. Everything's checks or, you know, electronic transfers. So you change it a little bit, but it's the same basic theory.
Yep, you're right. Well said. Sam.
Cash has two characteristics. The first one is it's tangible. You have it in your hand. And so you have to let go of it. So are you going to let go of it to make that purchase?
You're thinking about it.
That's the first thing. The second thing, if you'll give me a minute to think of what it was.
That's the other thing with age, isn't
yeah.
it? I had a really amazing point.
Yeah.
If you don't
it
have it.
It really was. Well, no, you,
About earnings?
When you go to purchase something, that purchase price already has factored in the cost of credit because they're expecting you to buy that with credit. If you have cash in hand, you can usually
make a deal,
get a substantial
discount,
a discount or it for less because you're paying with money rather than paying somebody to give you the credit or give them the credit.
Yeah.
The merchant also has to pay a fee for that.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I have recent experience with that. We had some work done in our backyard. We've kind of made a kitchen thing. And both those things. Number one was, I'm not going to look at you two. I'm going to start laughing. The guy that we hired to do it, he's a great guy. But these guys know. But number one, you know, so I paid him in cash. Some installments. So number one, yeah, I mean, you don't, it's like $5,000 or something. Boy, you know, and there's that. And really seeing it was impactful. You know, God, maybe I should have done that demo myself. Maybe the excavation for I could have. You know, there's that. And then the other thing is, yeah, he took a discount because of it. Yeah.
And the same thing. If you're going to purchase a car, if you have a car fund or an automobile fund. And you're dreaming of the Tesla, or one of those smaller cars. When it comes to actually making the purchase, and you have that cash in hand, it's like, why would I give all that money there? It's only a car, you know. Yeah. It's only so it helps you keep your, you know,
spending control.
Yeah, it makes sense. But like.
Yeah, well said. Was there a hand? I think I missed one. So anyway, that's about the cash system. And I love it. I think Steve said it well. When it's done, is done. Sam and Steve both said it. It's simple.
It also takes discipline. Because you have to put that money aside. And then you have to
leave it there. Well, in some ways, I could argue with you that all this electronic stuff takes even more discipline not to get out of control with it. But it really rewards discipline, I would say, for sure.
The other thing is that, so we don't use a cash-based system because we pay off our credit cards every month. But for kids, it's super hard. Right? They have no concept of cash, and that when I go to charge groceries
that's
or whatever,
right.
That it just keeps going, right? Or if you have a check, you have more checks, you can just write more checks.
Yeah, thanks for bringing this up. I meant to when I was preparing the lesson, I meant to bring that up. Great training wheels for the immigrants. Yeah. So someone
she said, you know, I have a sister that used to believe that if she had checks in the checkbook, she must have money in the account. Yeah. Her husband finally pulled the checkbook from her.
We'll solve that.
Hey, you don't want to talk about causing some problems for a while. She had overspent $15,000 in a month.
Yeah.
You know,
sounds like fun.
Again, I would say the financial is probably the symptom. The disease was something else.
Oh, yeah. But yeah.
And even whoever said, somebody was saying it's the leading cause of divorce.
Oh, yeah.
It's what bubbles up from probably something else.
Stress.
Yeah.
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 The stress leads to other things. Like.
Yeah. So let's move on to number two, a paper ledger system. Ellie had this one with her dad. She told us about the paper ledger system. So recording purchases that are variable, or I guess the fancier term would be discretionary. I have a choice of doing them, not doing them. And then fixed, and again, fixed being... you want to make me go in there again, don't you? Fixed being, there's really not a... there's not a short-term decision you can make. You're obligated. Rounding off to the nearest dollar. Okay. Implementing the allowance strategy. So that gives some. There's some of your envelope discipline coming right into a paper-based one. And then recording data every 1 to 3 days using saved receipts.
Yeah.
Recording using the daily spending. So it can't get away from you is the idea. And then record fixed or quarterly expenses on a monthly basis using the monthly record. I just have this, like, what was the guy's name? Cratchit? Bob Cratchit.
Oh, Cratchit.
You know, sitting there with his paper. Scrooge coming in. But anyway, that's the paper ledger system. Yeah, I think it's probably, maybe this is the graduation. Maybe this is taking a step from the envelope system. So, the third one, electronic ledger. And this is, with all the apps, I mean, this thing was written, it's so funny. 2008 doesn't seem that long ago, but on some things it is so long ago. It's so, the electronic, the little apps that are free and whatnot are so easy now that you'd think you could get a lot of the benefits of the first two electronically now. And you get some temptations. But it requires program and computer or a phone and an app. I mean, that's we're outdated. Spreadsheets may be used, people. All the spreadsheet people can have a party. Spending accounts are set up. Cash is located in the bank. Spending accounts can be determined on a daily basis or what is it? I think on the radio, that Uber, you can get paid 5 times a day, I think, if you want. If you're an Uber driver, that's one of the things they tout, is you can, they'll pay you right on the spot 5 times a day if you want to be paid that fast. Easy to adjust and modify, an optional online system available. Well, it's dated. So again, this one now, Sam's earlier point notwithstanding, I'd say, man, this one really requires some discipline because you can, it can get away from you.
You know what I like about the electronic? The what ifs. Performing, you know, hey, yeah, if I put this expense in, how does it affect this? Yeah, the what ifs.
Okay.
It's easier to do on the computer.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Computers have some, you know, very good things that you can do it by hand, but it takes a lot more work. I mean, I can remember going back in my old days of doing financial plans for people, longhand. And I mean, it would take me a week.
On a 13 column?
I can do it in 45 minutes on a computer now.
Yeah.
I mean.
No, it's powerful. The tools are powerful.
And you can do a graph too, so you can really show it.
Power for good, power for evil.
It's as dumb as can be. If you put, you know, garbage in, garbage out. I mean, you know, so it's the same thing. If you're not monitoring it correctly.
Well, and I'd say, you know, one thing, I happen to be looking at my 401k, and I think one of hers is at Fidelity. Okay. So whatever, 401k.com, that's a really neat address they snapped up. But now they've got it in 10 minutes answering like 4 or 5 questions. You can get a reasonable checkup on things. And it's, yeah, sure. You need to ask not 4 or 5, you need to ask 204 or 205 questions to really get it nailed. But, you know, I mean, there's some powerful stuff, and there's really, I guess, probably not a lot of excuse that we shouldn't be doing some of the stuff. It was literally a 10 or 15 minute investment. I looked at it and I go, yeah, that's about right.
And because things are going to change. I mean, I have people, well, what do I do in 20 years? I don't know. You're going to be alive in 20 years. I don't know. I mean, that's a, you know, very, I mean, those things.
We're trying to milk this thing too, and we're going to be done.
So. That's all right.
But
one thing about the electronic ledger, I find, is that you plug in tithe and charitable contributions and everything, and so those things are automatically in there. So your other
tax time comes.
Is,
okay. Yeah.
So it's much nicer.
Oh yeah.
Or easier. You know, you stay where you should be with the, you know, certain things, you know, mortgages or whatever they have. But by putting those things in as a monthly boom, 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 then if you do have any money, it's extra money that you can give to the church because you've already given the tithe. Or, you know, it's not. I find that some people get down to the end of the month and they go, oh, well, gee, I don't have any money for the church this month, but I'll make it up next month.
No, you don't.
And it's already there. It's gone. It's best.
That comes first.
Yeah.
What's the old joke? Why is there so much month at the end of my money?
That's a funny one. I haven't heard that.
Yeah, people say they can't afford tithing.
I haven't heard that one.
That's funny.
All right, page 109. This is kind of how we're going to wrap this up, this little part of it. So if you're married, decide who will be the main manager of the accounts. But when filling in the spending plan, both people need to sign with their blood. Right? So,
does it say that?
So. Small print.
But, no, I mean, we've done this, right? I go in the room, I lock myself in the office, and I come out, well, pow, here's our plan. And she's, what are you, what? And she, I'm not even looking, she'll kick it back. I'm not even looking at this crap. Because, I, you know, and it's true, right? When it's unilateral like that, I get it. But it's, here's your spending plan. What am I, four? You know, so. I somehow I don't learn the lesson, and I keep doing it. Yeah. Second, decide which record keeping system you're going to do. Consider pros and cons. So lock down on something. So one thing we can always agree on is Excel is wonderful. So we'll never have a problem with that. Number three, if paper or electronic ledger system is used, transfer numbers from your worksheet. Yeah, fine. And then if the cash-based envelope, transfer the spending account that will be paid by cash to the envelope form. So do it. Number three and number four is do it. Follow through on this stuff. All right. Let's see. We're pretty close to the end here. I wonder if we're so close to the end though, too.
No, we got
no. Look at what's left. 12, 13, no. This is, it's all personal
we
stuff.
We can start looking for something else, that Ramsey TED Talk.
All right, so we'll spend like 3 minutes. He and I have been emailing, our Board of Adult Discipleship guy informed us that the change of quarters is September 17 is day one of the new one.
10
is the day. Sorry, I didn't read it closely.
he saw it was your email, so he was just
so like, we were because I think the rest of this stuff is pretty self-explanatory, although I do want to, at the very end, we'll come to page 111 and we'll really ground ourselves in some scripture. But, you know, if you guys have ideas on how we can stay on theme and still do it, Matt had a good point. There's a few TED Talks. If you guys haven't experienced TED Talks, they're super cool. And we could maybe see if we can find a TED Talk on this topic. Dave Ramsey's got a YouTube channel. We can invite him in a little bit if we wanted. Another thing I was thinking about, and I don't know how practical we can get with this, but time and time again, it's come up probably 20 times this summer. We really need to have our kids doing this. We really need to train our kids on that. We really, you know, even today with the envelope system, it came up. So maybe we can have try to craft something to make this a little bit practical. Now that we're starting day one of school, we'll put new curriculum in, right? whatever it is, so we can do some of those things. The rest of this stuff is really at home, personal. Yeah.
Not only do we need to
teach
this to our kids, we need to teach this to our grandchildren, because they're not getting it either, and they've got more pressures than we do.
Well, and you guys, people with grandkids have got so much more experience. All right.
Firsthand.
Don't freak out when this happens. It really will be okay. Let me tell you a story, or. That right there is a problem. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you a story, right? I mean, some of us that are more in the middle don't have as much.
Well, grandparents can talk to kids differently than parents can. And a lot of times your relationship is very different than you have with your parents. And I mean, I remember my grandparents were the ones that got me my first bank account. And I'm sure it was a decision that my parents made with them. But it was more special because it was my grandparents that gave it to me, and they started me off with $100 in it, and that was the most money I've ever seen in my life, you know. But and then that was my thing, as I went once a week with my grandparents to the bank to drop off whatever I had earned that week, and you know, so it was a good a special, unique relationship, I guess, that was building with the grandparents.
I love it. I love this. So let's, you know, everybody that is a grandparent is probably dying for ways to kind of link in with their grandkids. All right, so we've got a few bullet points on where we can go next in the few weeks. We'll try to prepare some materials. But let's close out. I'd like to read the three Bible passages. Notice we're on page 111 now. Notice the three headings. There's one is a commitment. Second is change and really a prayer for change. And then the third one is courage and motivation. So let's read them all together, and let's start with Matthew 6. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So this is not a money commitment, is it? It's a spiritual commitment. Change. So let's read from Colossians 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Now the courage from Joshua 24. This is here's some motivation. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. All right. Amen. I think that was a good prayer as well. So we're done with the book formally. There's some nuggets in here, so hold on to it. See you guys next week. Jenny should take a shot.